I really want to make those t-shirts and have us wear them.
I'd rather have PTSD than a dead best friend.
The not dead best friend.
I am the not dead best friend. Can we wear it around? Can we wear it around? Will we get kicked out of Disney if we wear that?
I think so.
We can wear it to downtown Disney. Because there are less rules there. Disney Springs, that's what it's called now. I have a colored pencil in my hand. It's called Peach.
Very nice.
She's going. All right. Hello.
Hello.
I'm Chrissy.
I'm Shelby. And this is Pentacles and Tentacles, the podcast, where everything's kind of made up and Chrissy has heartburn.
That's true. I ate too much for dinner. Did you hear that?
I did.
If you hear I'm embarrassed now. If you hear noises, it's because my stomach, I can't burp. I have burped like 3 times in my life.
What do you call them?
I don't want to say I'm embarrassed. My mom calls them heart farts because they like, I don't know. I should probably go to the doctor about it or like tell my doctor because.
Hey, there was one.
It wasn't a burp. It was just like, it came out. It was too high in the throat. It's like a throaty burp. Your mouth was
open and a noise came out.
It was like a throaty. It was like a throaty. They're like. They're in burps that don't reach the surface.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be incredibly unsatisfying.
It is. Well, I don't know. I don't know the difference. Oh, every God. Time. Because when I do burp, I think I'm going to vomit.
Oh.
It's because I just assume that is the precursor. Because I've anything never had
coming up has to be vomit. It can't be there. Yes,
because like normally they stop like right at like the base of my throat. And they just like, that's why they're called heart farts. Is, I mean, I know my heart's not right here. But like they just gurgle right in my chest.
Yeah. The fact that we're talking about burping, makes me really want to burp. And I can burp on command, but I'm trying hard not to. But it's very like, it's stuck in there right now.
I feel really weird because Ashley's listening in on this conversation, but she can only hear my half of it. So she's only hearing me like talk to myself pretty much.
So I'm not even here.
Our friend Ashley is listening and she's over in front of me.
They went out to dinner on a romantic date without
me. We did. She had 3 glasses of wine and isn't even drunk.
What a trooper.
It's because we had peanut butter pie together romantically.
Mm-hmm. Did you feed each other?
No, we shared it though.
Okay, good.
And then I almost peed my pants in the restaurant because it was taking forever. But it was worth it because it was a real good salad and peanut butter pie.
I'm very happy for you.
You still haven't tried that peanut butter pie and you probably never
will. I know, and I'm really mad about it.
You have 1 month to do it.
I mean, I'll be back. I come here for doctor's
appointment. I won't be back ever.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, whatever. Nah. We don't need to talk about that now.
Not now.
Do we have any life updates?
We have a lot of countries that listen to us, apparently, and now my grandma thinks I'm famous.
I don't even know if my grandma, I don't want to say, like, sometimes my grandma, like, doesn't call me by the right name.
Okay.
Which, like, she doesn't call, like, many people by the right name. Like, one time she called me Bailey, which was, like, her neighbor. She called me Bailey.
Okay.
One time she called me the dog's name, which is fine. I mean, I get it. Like, she's my grandma, whatever.
My mom's done that before to me though, and I'm her only child.
My mom has called me Scrissy before because of like our old dog.
She'd be like, Jasper, Shelby. And I was like, Jasper's been dead for 40 years.
He's been dead for 40 years. No, my mom's called me Scrissy before because we had a dog named Scarlet, and she's just like meshed them together.
Scrissy sounds like it could be like your rap name.
Well, how about this? One time at Ben, I had a history class. It was high school. And I was in class and my last name is obviously Tressler. and my first name is Chrissy. This kid in my class called me Tressie. Like, he, like, went to go yell at me. He was like, Tressie! And I'm like, that's new. They just called me that for the rest of, like, school.
Okay.
I haven't seen him since then.
All right.
Which is the case for most people I graduated with. Which is fine. Except for two.
Yeah, same. I only see Kaylin.
I didn't know you went to school with Kaylin.
Yeah.
That's a new thing I've learned today at this exact moment. I don't know where I thought you knew her from.
So we hated each other when we first met each other. And it was the dumbest reason we hated each other. We rode the same bus together and we both knew this girl named Megan, who's my neighbor. And if Megan wasn't sitting with one of us, this other girl who we all didn't like would sit with the other one. So I hated Kaylin and she hated me because Megan had to choose between the two of us.
Well, one day terrible people.
Yeah. Well, one day Megan brought home a person to work on a project with on the bus. So Kaylin like, well, we both don't want to sit with this girl who was just really annoying. Nothing wrong with her, just very annoying. And so Kaylin and I sat next to each other and we ended up talking and then we became best friends in middle school, high school, and college.
Fascinating.
We met on a bus.
The first time I ever met my friend Lydia, she was like, hi, my name's Lydia. I have mono. Don't drink after me. Those were her first words.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, cannoli woke up. She's drinking water. Like freshman year of college, I am an athlete. So it was like my first like meeting with the softball team and we had to like go for concussion testing. I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the baseline test. I think, I don't remember. And that's the first thing she said up to me.
What a way to build a friendship.
And it's been that way ever since. Then she almost threw up my car once. And that was just.
I'm trying to think of what the first thing I said to you was. It might've been Miff June, but that's about it.
I forgot about that. I don't know. The first thing you ever did to me was steal the mouse from my hand.
Yeah.
You're like, really let me do that.
Teacher. I'm a really shitty teacher.
And I was like, I can do it. You're like, no, you're not doing it fast enough. Because our dear friend Ashley was not there to save the day on a Monday because she didn't work Mondays.
Yeah. She worked like 10-hour days, though.
That's her own damn fault that she worked 10-hour days. 10-hour days. That's English.
10-hour days.
That's her own damn fault. But also, I was really mad at her when she didn't work Mondays. And I got really bad anxiety when I first started because I was like, who am I going to sit with on Mondays? You would think like the person that was supposed to train with me, like our person.
Why would
I actually sit with the person I was supposed to be?
Why would we ever expect something so scandalous?
So I got put with you guys.
Yeah.
And look where it got me.
A podcast.
Is that it?
And psychological trauma.
Well, that's because you almost died. I got psychological trauma because you decided to die in front of me. Almost die. All right, so we should probably tell our story.
Probably.
Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first? My story is very long.
Probably I should go first because mine's shorter.
All right, I'll bring up the rear.
Okay.
All right, so this is about aliens.
It's requested by my father.
Was it? I don't remember that.
Yeah, my mom wanted the story last week and my dad said aliens. And I'm like, all right.
All right.
So hi, Dad.
Hello.
You better listen to this. This is for you.
He better, because my story is long and I did a lot of research.
Sometimes he does.
And there was stuff about buttholes in it, so.
Oh, God. Oh wait, did you have a lot of anal probing?
One instance of anal probing with us. We'll get to it.
I forgot that existed with aliens, but there's not a lot of information on mine because it's a secret.
All right, let's go into it.
Okay, so my topic is Area 51. Dun, dun,
dun. To be fair, I don't really know much about it, so I will remain silent for a lot of this.
What's sad is neither do I after this, because this was secret.
Did not clear anything up?
Not really. I mean, I have some better ideas, but deep in the Nevada desert, surrounded by mountains, is Area 51. The closest town to it is a small town called Rachel, and it's full of like kitschy shops and like diners and the official UFO like research site and cute stuff like that.
Okay. He says in Nevada.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that I'm really stupid because I was like, that's where Roswell's at. It's not. I was like, wow, there's a lot of aliens there. I'm wrong, is the moral of the story.
That is not correct.
Continue, I'm sorry.
It has served as a military test facility since the 1950s. This is where the U-2 spy planes were tested, the SR-71 Blackbird, the A-12, or Oxcart, which, honestly, if I was an A-12, I'd rather be called an Oxcart.
I have no idea what any of that was, but...
Yeah, and the F-117 Nighthawk.
Are those planes?
Yes.
Okay. That's all you had to say, many planes.
This explains why my dad liked this. Many planes. This probably explains why my dad liked it.
So this is like an actual place that tests military stuff, military planes.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not pretend.
Correct.
Okay. Because I remember when people like actually tried to storm it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a year or two. Well, 2 years. Well,
no, 2020.
Was it 2020? No.
Was it 2019? 2020?
It happened in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I can't remember. Were people stupid and doing it during the pandemic, or was it right before?
I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. So this area is patrolled by a lot of pickup driving guards armed with M16s, which are allowed to use deadly force if someone does not stop from entering the base.
Sounds like Central Pennsylvania.
As of yet, there's been no such incident, including the storming of Area 51. No one died. But yeah, people don't get close. Usually the guards call local police, and there is a $600 fine for those who get too close. Hold on. Can we pause?
Awkward phone call.
It was my wings.
Oh my god. From where?
Wings over.
What why flavor? Did he knock?
Honey barbecue.
Be better than that. Be better than like honey
barbecue.
Be better than honey barbecue. They have better flavors than that.
I also like their garlic parm and their Texas mesquite.
I'm done with you.
Okay, well, I hope Luke gets that. I just messaged him. We'll see what happens. Otherwise, I'm gonna
get those wings.
Get my wings! All right, so $600 fine for those curious enough to get too close. The closest legal vantage point is at the top of Tickaboo Peak, which is just fun to say.
Tickaboo Peak.
Yep, it's around 26 miles away. The area around the base is actually called the Extraterrestrial Highway.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's the official name of this highway. They had a whole naming ceremony with the cast of Independence Day, because that's when the movie, like around the time they renamed is when that movie came out, which I think is kind of cute.
Interesting choice.
Yeah. And they have a minor league baseball team called the 51s.
Who are they an affiliate of?
I don't know. I just threw that fact in there for you.
Well, let me find it out, because I need to know whose minor league team that is.
I saw that and I was like, oh, Chrissy.
Minor.
Before league. I get any further, my information is from Atlas Obscura, Legends of America, and Wikipedia. Gotta cite those sources. I'm a scientist. I should know what to do. We're finding out about baseball.
They're no longer called the 51s.
Dang it.
They are called the Las Vegas Aviators, and they are a part of whose team? Oakland Athletics. Okay, there. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, cool.
I knew it wasn't the Pirates. That's all I knew. Because they would
if
not be.
If it was, that'd be weird.
I mean, they have teams all
aliens.
Over.
Aliens. Like, if you were affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates and you're in Nevada?
Well, they have Florida, the Bradenton Marauders. They have Indianapolis Indians, the Altoona Curve.
Well, Altoona's at least in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but the Spikes were the Cardinals. So,
oh, things I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, your minor league teams are all over the state. They don't have to be in the same state as you.
Well, now you definitely learned something new, because I have. I didn't know that.
Fair, that was right. Sports talk with Chrissy. We're done.
Separate podcast. So Area 51 was created during the Cold War between the U.S. and Soviet Union. We know what the Cold War is. As a testing and development facility for aircraft. So it was to do experimental fancy aircraft, including the Blackbird, U-2, all that stuff.
I have a question.
Yes, question for the class.
In Captain Marvel.
Yes.
They should have made her, you know, when she was testing planes. That would have been a good place for her to test planes.
It would have. I wonder why they didn't do that.
When they were working on Project Pegasus. I don't remember where they were doing that.
They might not have wrote about it when her comic came out, because Area 51's existence was only officially acknowledged by the CIA in August 2013.
I feel like I've known about longer than that.
Most people know about it, but the government never acknowledged its existence until 2013.
Is that when like everyone thought it was just like aliens and test tubes?
Yes.
Giant like cylinder tubes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it was made in 1955, but never publicly acknowledged until
Carol Danvers still could have been there.
True. President Obama became the first U.S. president to mention Area 51 publicly.
I remember that because it was a big deal. He also acknowledged UFOs, which don't mean aliens, but he was like, yes, UFOs, and it's very boring.
It's always the weather balloon. Anyway, so, and he actually said it publicly 4 months after the CIA was like, yeah, it exists. All right. So it is illegal to fly over Area 51, but now the site is actually available on satellite images. So it wasn't before. There are runways that are 12,000 feet long, or 2.3 miles, or international listeners, 3.7 kilometers. The information is sparse, but it's believed the US military continues to use Area 51 to develop cutting edge aircrafts. About 1,500 people are believed to work there, many commuting on charter flights from Las Vegas. And I think it's mostly Air Force, so this is why I don't trust my boyfriend, because he knows about the aliens.
Just throw them away.
Just throw away the whole man.
We'll wait until he brings you the wings first.
Yeah.
But then throw them away.
Chicken first, garbage later. All right. So the most famous claim is that the site hosts an alien spacecraft and the bodies of its pilots after they crashed at Roswell.
I did that story.
Yes. And that happened in 1947. The U.S. government says there were no aliens at the crash craft. It was a weather balloon. It's always a freaking weather balloon. Others claim to have seen UFOs above or near the site. Some say they've been abducted by aliens and experimented on before returning to Earth. And in 1989, a man named Robert Lazar claimed he had worked on alien technology inside Area 51.
Red Bull, why do you taste like lizards?
Oh god. Is that because I said Lazar?
That's always stuck in my head. It's my favorite TikTok.
It's better than the one I have in my head all the time.
Which is?
It's the girl who does the baby voice and she's talking to her boyfriend. You're never gonna marry me. You don't want to see me in a pretty white dress. You're never gonna commit. I've already committed. Arson!
Mine is better.
It is.
Red Bull, why do you taste like lizards? I always, because that picture, that really ugly picture I have of Willow, which I will put up on the Instagram because I think it's funny. She looks like a lizard. So now I'm just like, Willow, why do you look like a lizard?
Oh,
All right, good continue. Times. I'm sorry. Lazar.
That's okay. Lazar. So let's see. He claimed to have seen medical photographs of aliens that the government used in the facility. Conspiracy theories gained more support in 1989 when he came out with all this stuff and then said that there were saucer test flights in the Tikapu Valley and he worked on the spaceships, and none of that is confirmed or, you know, corroborated.
They haven't denied it?
And nothing I said they ever denied it, just there's no real evidence that what he said is true.
All right, but, well, I mean, that's not denying it.
No, this is true.
I've learned that from enough cheating ex-boyfriends.
Shouldn't laugh at that, but it was kind of funny. It was just really quick. The delivery was amazing. A 10 out of 10.
Thank you. I'll be here all night.
Tip you, waitress. And get another peanut butter pie.
I can't handle that calorie intake.
Oh, man. Let's see here. As early as 1950, the CIA developed a UFO office to deal with the sightings of unidentified flying objects over Nevada. When people first saw the U-2 spy plane flying, no one knew what they were seeing. The CIA used that disinformation to their benefit by fostering an alien mythology. So what I've gathered from this is they're like, okay, so we're testing all these secret planes and new technology that we don't want other countries and other places to learn about. Let's just let people say it's aliens. Cover it up. Then no one knows what we're actually doing.
That's fair.
Which, like, cool.
I mean,
use what you got.
I mean, if people are like that dead set on like creating that rumor and it hides the real truth, then I mean, why not? Yeah. It sounds like something that someone in high school would think of, but I mean, it works.
It works. Totally works. I'm sure they had a board meeting or whatever about it.
It clearly works because we don't know.
And people still tried to storm Area 51 to see them aliens.
Fair.
Also, this baffled me. It's 3 million acres, roughly the size of Connecticut.
I'm sorry, hiccuped. It's 3 million acres big, large.
Roughly the size of Connecticut. Not Rhode Island, Connecticut.
The whole state of Connecticut could fit into Area 51.
Yes.
That is large.
Too large. Too in charge.
Think of how many aliens.
Just thought of Chris Evans. Cut the brakes, because I'm in charge.
I did not know where that was going. Okay.
No, I love that video. It's so fun. Let's see here. Oh, so here's some other theories about Area 51. There's development of weather control.
All right, Thor. So this is just Marvel headquarters, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Captain Marvel's there. Thor's there.
Going on the Marvel thing, development of time travel and teleportation technology.
Doctor Strange is there.
Mm-hmm. All of Endgame
basically Endgame happened at Area 51.
Exactly.
Tony is there somewhere. Dead.
Activities related to a shadowy one world government or the Majestic 12 organization that appears in many UFO conspiracies. Majestic 12. Yeah. I want to do a whole other thing on that. I need to know
more about Majestic that. 12?
Yes.
I've never heard of that before.
Me either, and I need to know more.
Interesting. Okay.
Some believe also that the US government filmed the 1969 moon landing on one of the hangars.
I have heard that conspiracy theory before.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe that, but okay.
People landed on the moon. It's the moon. Okay.
The moon is full of cheese.
I wish it was. Do you think it'd be good cheese?
Ashley just said, I would be in trouble.
We all would. We don't do good with dairy.
We would be in, all of three of us would have a very bad dairy time. There would not be enough.
Be an astronaut? Because I can't go to the moon because it's made of cheese, and then it's just going to be a bad time for everyone.
And I have issues with lactose. Not all lactose. Most of them.
Most of the lactose is lactose.
Okay. Move on.
Anyway.
Back from cheese.
Okay. So there's the extraterrestrial highway sign, extraterrestrial highway. The fact that it's actually named that baffles me. There's the civilian run official alien research center. It's official because they call it official. There's a 2-story silver alien at its front door. Here, which, I mean, it's super shiny and you're in the middle of the desert, so I just imagine it being very blinding in the sun. And that doesn't do well for my eyes or my head. No. Visitors can go to the gift shop where all manner of alien apparel and souvenirs can be found and get a cold drink to quench your desert thirst.
Cold drink.
Cold drink. Let's see here. So it's the youngest town in the state, Rachel, Nevada. It's about another 38 miles from Tickaboo Valley. That's the closest like town you can actually get to around Area 51. It's considered the UFO capital of the world, with only about 50 people living in the small town of only 100 people in the entire valley. It doesn't even have a post office. Fun. However, there's a gas station and convenience store called the Alien Cowpoke. Cowpoke? Cowpoke.
Cowpoke?
Cowpoke. Alien Cowpoke.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's the Little Leanne Inn, and there's a barn restaurant that serves up alien burgers and beer. I mean, yeah, beer, but I don't know what makes it an alien burger. Lots of gift shops, a small motel, an RV park, a tow truck rescuing a broken down UFO, an alien mural, and a sign reading Earthlings Welcome, and all make for great photo opportunities. I can talk. And then, of course, there's the storming of Area 51 that was started on Facebook. And no one went in there. It kind of looked just like a big festival.
They didn't make it in.
Of course not, because they would have gotten shot, like I would have said before, and they have license to do so.
They must be hiding something in there.
Yeah, experimental aircrafts and probably weaponry.
Yeah.
Which is like super boring.
I'm not saying they're holding aliens in there, but they must be holding like something like fairly like exciting. Not exciting. Different.
I think cloaking technology, like invisibility planes.
Don't they already have those?
Yes, but I think you can make it even better. Wow.
I ran over my foot with my table. It's fine.
That looks very painful.
I mean, that was really sorry. It was a really unattractive face I made, and that's okay, because no one will ever see this video, but it was really ugly. All right,
but yeah, that's it.
That's
literally it.
All right,
a bunch of planes that were tested during the Cold War, and there's no aliens. Wink, wink, hint, hint. There might be aliens.
There might be. We don't know.
I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of aliens.
All right. Well, I'm gonna try to persuade you to confirm them.
Okay.
Story. This is the story of Betty and Barney Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take breathing breaks because I apparently cannot breathe today.
Oh, I mean allergies. The pollen count is very high.
I also ate too much. And I feel like that peanut butter pie is just sitting on my lung.
Remember when we went to Olive Garden and we all couldn't breathe? And we went to Michael's. I really wanted to unbutton my pants the whole time we were there, but I know that's not appropriate.
Hey, Ashley, remember when we went to Olive Garden for your birthday? We all couldn't breathe afterwards. Yeah, that was the most food I've ever eaten in my life, I think. I don't think I ever wanted to financially recover from that. And the brownie lasagna.
Oh, God.
Why did I say lasagna like that? Lasagna. Anyway, I got my information from Wikipedia, as always, history.com, The Lore Podcast, and Travel Channel.
Cool.
All right, I'm gonna like try to bust through this because there's a lot of like stuff. So, okay. Betty and Barney Hill were from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and they had a dog named Delsey. From the pictures, it looks like Delsey was a weenie dog. Barney worked the night shift at the local post office, and he drove 60 miles each way to work. This was in 1961, so that's a lot of miles. I mean, it's a lot of miles regardless. Betty handled state child welfare cases. That was really hard for me to say for some reason. She handled welfare cases.
Mm-hmm.
And they both had very stressful jobs, but they are still active in their church and activities related to the civil rights movement. This trip that they took when this all happened served as a delayed honeymoon. It was almost a year and a half after their wedding. They were members of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Barney was on the board of the United States Commission on Civil Rights. Barney was Black, Betty was white, leaving them as an interracial couple in a time that was pretty uncommon and pretty...
not accepted.
Yes. It wasn't accepted. It was, you know.
Which sucks.
Yeah, it was the 60s. Their story is one of the first highly publicized cases of a possible alien abduction in the U.S., and their story became part of Project Blue Book, which I briefly discussed in the Roswell episode. Cool. All right, here's the story of a lovely lady. Okay. On September 19th, 1961, around 10:30 p.m., Betty and Barney Hill were driving back from their vacation in Niagara Falls and Montreal. They were going home to Portsmouth. But they were in Lancaster, New Hampshire, when Betty saw a bright light in the sky that moved from below the moon. Don't know how she knew it was the moon. And Jupiter. Don't know how she knew it was Jupiter either. And it moved west of the moon, and it looked like a falling star, but it was moving upward.
Baffled on the whole Jupiter part.
I don't know how she knew the moon and Jupiter. I obviously know how she knew the moon, because you can see the moon. Jupiter is more what I'm, like, fixated on, is how do you know it's Jupiter? She knew it was Jupiter. She specifically said Jupiter.
Okay.
It moved erratically and got bigger and brighter. They stopped the car for a closer look and to take Delsey for a walk because they had been in the car all day. They stopped at a scenic picnic area just south of Twin Mountain. Barney used binoculars to look at the bright light and saw an odd-shaped craft with flashing multicolored lights move across the moon. So, like, traveled in front of it.
Okay.
Which would be weird if it traveled behind it, I guess, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, how could you see if it was behind the moon?
Disregard.
Cut that out!
So, years before, Betty's sister had reported seeing a flying saucer, and Betty believed that this is what she was seeing. Barney thought it might have been a commercial airliner, but changed his mind when the craft came down in his direction without turning. So it just kind of, like, abruptly changed directions without, like, moving. Like, obviously it moved, but, like, didn't turn. He returned to his car and drove toward, it's called the Franconia Notch, which is a narrow mountainous stretch of road in New Hampshire. It's, like, very narrow, like it's very, like, hard to drive on from what I've gathered. They continued to drive slowly and observe the flying object, and it came closer to them. It passed above a restaurant and the signal tower on Cannon Mountain. Betty said it was 1.5 times the length of the granite cliff that they were near, so it was around 40 feet long, and it rotated. Okay. It was silent, illuminated, and it moved erratically and bounced. Approximately 1 mile south of Indian Head, it made a rapid descent towards the vehicle. This caused Barney to stop in the middle of the road. The object hovered approximately 80 to 100 feet above their car and filled the entire view of the windshield. From where they're in the car, and it filled the entire view of the windshield. That's how big it was.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
They said it looked like a huge pancake. Barney got out of the car, excuse me, and he used binoculars. He saw 8 to 11 humanoid figures peering out of the windows. In unison, all but one figure moved to the panel at the rear of the wall of the object. So, like, they moved backwards. One figure continued to look at Barney, and he communicated a message to him without speaking. He said, stay where you are and keep looking. They were wearing glossy black uniforms and black hats. So, red lights were on the bat wings of the ship. So, they kind of look like, they called them bat wings. and they began to telescope out of the sides. The red lights began to telescope. So, come out. A long structure came down from the bottom of the craft, which is very, like, picturesque of what we think of when we see a flying saucer, like, with it has, like, the ramp that comes down.
Mm-hmm.
The craft was about 50 to 80 feet overhead and 300 feet away. And when I think about 300 feet away, like, you have to put in perspective, like, that's about a baseball field away.
Oh.
So, like, this wasn't, like, extremely, I mean, it was, like, from home plate to mid outfield. So, like, I mean, it wasn't, like, right up in their grill.
But too close for comfort.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like, where a center fielder stands, we'll just say.
Okay.
I'm going to say that it was a general blanket statement.
Mm-hmm.
So they ran back to the car. Hysterical, he told Betty, they're going to capture us. The flying object moved right above the car, and they drove at a high speed while Betty kept a lookout from the car.
Mm-hmm.
She rolled down the windows and looked up. A rhythmic beeping and buzzing sound began to come from the object, and they said it bounced off of the trunk of their vehicle. Their car vibrated, and a tingling sensation passed through their bodies. They experienced an altered state of consciousness that left their minds feeling dull.
Ooh.
A second series of sounds and, like, sounds of beeping and buzzing began. They drew 35 miles south, and they only had vague memories of that section of road. Like, they only have, like, bits and pieces of driving those 35 miles. They can recall a sudden, sharp, unplanned turn, and they encountered a roadblock, and they observed a fiery orb on the road. That's part of their, like, bits and pieces of memories. When they arrived home, they felt an odd sensation and impulses that were completely unexplained and unnatural to them. Betty insisted on keeping their luggage at the back door rather than bringing it into the house. Their watches stopped working. The leather strap of Barney's binoculars were torn, but he doesn't remember tearing them. The toes of Barney's dress shoes were scraped. Barney felt compelled to examine his genitals while in the bathroom, but he felt nothing unusual. But he felt like he needed to look at them. They took long showers to remove anything that could be contaminating them. And then they both drew pictures of what they believed happened. They tried to figure out the chronological order of the events, but then after they recalled hearing the beeping and buzzing sound that was bouncing off their car, their memories become fragmented. They fell asleep after they talked about this. And then Betty woke up and put her shoes and clothing from the night, from that drive, into her closet. And this is when she noticed that her dress was torn at the hem, the zipper, and the lining. It was all torn in these spots. There was a pink powder on the dress, so she hung the dress up on the clothesline and the powder blew away. She threw the dress away due to the damage, but then changed her mind and then pulled it back out of the trash. And over the years, 5 different labs have conducted tests and ran forensics on this dress.
Wow.
Yes. Tiny concentric circles were on the car's trunk that they hadn't been there before, so I don't know if this is from the beeping and buzzing sounds they were hearing, but there were tiny little circles, like concentric circles, on the trunk of the car.
I mean, could it be from, like, the beeping, like, bouncing off?
I don't know. I don't know if it's, like, magnets, possibly, or, like, I have no idea. But a compass needle, which is why I think magnets, a compass needle would whirl rapidly when it moved closer to these spots.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Okay. So, reporting all of this. So, on November 21st, not the 4th, Betty called the Peace Air Force Base to report the UFO encounter.
And with the Air Force.
She withheld details on purpose because she didn't want to be, like, all forthcoming. She didn't want to seem as insane as she felt.
Okay.
So Major Paul W. Henderson called them for an interview, and it was determined that they misidentified the planet Jupiter. But then he later changed his statement to they had optical condition inversion or insufficient data. His reports were sent to Project Blue Book. Betty then borrowed books about UFOs from the library, and it was written by a Marine Corps major named Donald Kehoe, who was the head of NICAP.
Okay.
Betty wrote to him on September 26th, telling him the whole story and discussed that she was considering hypnosis to remember these events more clearly. The letter was sent to Walter Webb, who was a Boston astronomer and a member of NICAP. So Webb met with them and they had a 6-hour interview. Barney developed a mental block, and they believe that there were parts of the experience that Barney did not wish to remember.
Probably.
So, like, subconsciously, he was just not bringing up these memories.
Mm-hmm.
And then Webb stated that they were telling the truth and the incident probably occurred exactly as reported, except for some minor uncertainties and technicalities that must be tolerated in any such observations where human judgment is involved.
Okay.
So he thought they're telling the truth, except for minor details that the human mind changes.
Fair.
So then 10 days later, Betty started having very vivid dreams 5 nights in a row. Previously, she said she could not recall her memories with, basically, her dreams were so intense that she was like, these have to be memories. So she previously could not remember what had happened with any of this detail. She could not stop thinking about these dreams. And when she told Barney, he wasn't at all concerned. So she didn't mention it to Barney ever again. I don't know. I'm guessing Barney had a lot of denial from what I'm gathering.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it's like, you went through this experience together.
Ugh. Yeah. So October 1961, Betty wrote down the details of her dreams. And this is what her dreams were. You ready?
I'm ready.
In one of her dreams, her and Barney encountered a roadblock and men surrounded their car. She lost consciousness, and when she woke up, they were being forced by two small men to go into the forest. Barney was in a sleep-like trance. These men were small, but they were between 5 foot and 5 foot four. Does that mean I'm small?
I wasn't gonna say anything.
I'm 5'4". I'm small.
I can deny it no longer. I am small.
They wore matching blue uniforms and military style hats. They were nearly human. They had black hair, dark eyes, a prominent nose, blue lips, and gray skin.
Why the blue lips?
I don't know. They walked up a ramp into a disc-shaped metallic aircraft. Stereotypical flying saucer. They were taken to separate rooms once they were inside, and the leader told them that it would take too long to examine them together. That's why they were separated. The examiner, as she called him, was pleasant and calm. They had imperfect English in her dreams, and she had difficulty understanding them. They were testing the differences between humans and the others. She sat in a chair with a bright light on her, and they cut off a lock of her hair, examined her eyes, ears, mouth, teeth, throat, and hands, and they took clippings of her fingernails. They took a dull knife to scrape off some of her skin into like a sheet of plastic that she called, like, it looked like plastic wrap. So they took off some skin scrapings and put it on plastic wrap, which sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
They tested her nervous system by shoving a needle into her belly button.
Oh my God.
And she said it was very painful.
Yeah.
But the examiner, when this is painful, the examiner waved his hand in front of her eyes and the pain went away. She engaged with conversation with the leader, and there was a book with symbols, and the leader told her she could take it home. And she asked where they came from, and he showed her a map of stars. A disagreement broke out, and they were escorted from the ship, and the leader said she couldn't take the book anymore because he didn't want her to remember anything. Betty told him that no matter what, she would never forget and would always remember. They watched the craft leave and then drove home. On November 25th, 1961, they were interviewed by NICAP members. I don't know if I ever described what NICAP was. No, I can't remember what it is. It's like, hold on.
I've heard of it before, but I don't remember what
it is. It's the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena.
Okay.
There you go.
Hey.
Anyway, so they were interviewed in November by NICAP members C.D. Jackson and Robert Homan. The drive that they took home should have taken 4 hours. Total.
Mm-hmm.
They claimed that they didn't know it took longer than normal, but it took them 7 hours.
Wow.
And they could not account for any of the missing time. They could recall almost nothing of their 35-mile drive on Route 3. They recalled the fiery orb on the ground, but thought it was the moon. Homan and Jackson advised that that this was not the moon because the moon had it had set earlier in the day than what they recalled. So the moon mm-hmm. wouldn't have been in that position when they were in that area.
Okay.
And they wanted to use hypnosis to retrieve the memories of the missing time. Barney was apprehensive, but thought it would help Betty with the nonsense of her dreams.
Sounding very unsupportive.
Yeah. But like I said, I think he had a lot of denial.
Yeah.
In February 1962, They made frequent weekend trips to the White Mountains, hoping to spark some of their memories. They couldn't find where the fiery orb was, but they did find their capture site, where they believe they were captured.
Okay.
And then in November 1962, they were attending a meeting at their church that had a guest speaker named Captain Ben Sweat. This is a terrible name. It's S-W-E-T-T. I'm assuming a sweat. I don't think of any way else to say that.
Sweet, but that also doesn't sound great sweat. Either.
Ben Sweat. Okay. The Hills approached them. So Benny and Barney approached them after he did his public speaking thing, and they told him their story. Mm-hmm. They told him their story. He was interested about the missing time aspect of their story. And the Hills asked him if he would hypnotize them, but he declined and said, you need to find someone more experienced than me to find these this issue. Go on. Sure. So, on March 3rd, 1963, they told their church about the UFO encounter, and this was the first time it was ever talked about in public. Of all places to tell people about your UFO encounter, I feel like it's not church.
Yeah, I was like, that's a bold move.
I know, but they apparently they were really involved in their church. They must have really, I mean, they had a guy, to be fair, they had a public speaker coming in about hypnosis. So this had to have been like a very like
aggressive church.
I don't understand what kind of church this was, but Captain Sweat was talking about hypnosis. So in September of 1963, Captain Sweat returned again to give another lecture on hypnosis. And they told him that Barney was seeing a psychiatrist that they trusted that named Mr. Stevens. And Captain Sweat advised them to talk to him about hypnosis.
Okay.
And then Mr. Stevens referred them to a man named Benjamin Simon, who apparently was a hypnotist. Okay. I have been hypnotized before.
Have you really?
Yes, at the Grange Fair.
Was it weird?
Yes. We also had a hypnotist come to our senior all-night party.
Mm.
I bet Ashley knows exactly who I'm talking about. It's probably the same exact guy.
Yeah.
I was hypnotized. Ashley was also hypnotized.
Whoa.
Yeah, we like to be hypnotized here in Central PA. It's probably how they try to get us to forget about all the shitty parts of it. I forget his name though. He was really funny. I don't know. The hypnotizing was fun. I did.
What's it feel like? Do you remember any of it? Or
I remember it now. I didn't remember it for a little bit. I didn't remember it for like a whole week, I think. I had to bark like a dog. Like whenever he said like a keyword.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I was up there. You were like in a row. You do like this whole like testing thing to see if like your arms can move. Like mm-hmm. your subconscious will like allow your body to move without like you thinking about it, which I think is a whole load of crap. I think it just like whatever. I just remember like feeling like I was really tired. And then all of a sudden, like, I don't know. I had to bark like a dog and I did it. And I don't know why I did it. I still don't know why I did it. I don't really understand it. Like, he's like, when I say the word chicken, you have to bark like a dog.
Okay.
But so like, but you're back in the audience. So he was just like talking mm-hmm. about things. And then all of a sudden, like, he'd like say chicken and then I'd start barking like a dog.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he like cleared it from your memory. So then it didn't mm-hmm. keep happening.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't even know. I mean, I was in like ninth grade, maybe.
Oh, that's really interesting.
I didn't remember it for a little bit, and then like I think one day I woke up and I was like, that's embarrassing. What did you have to do when you were hypnotized, Ash?
So I didn't actually get chosen to come up, but I was hypnotized in the audience.
Oh, were you one of the audience people?
Yeah,
that
was like
she was like,
oh,
in the audience. Did you have to do anything weird?
No, but Kim had to go, every time you said a certain word, she had to shake her butt and go, Aflac.
she was the Aflac duck. Oh, that was fun. I remember, he did like the same thing. Yeah, I was like,
the next day she texted me, she's like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's like weird, like, you don't really remember it for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you're just like, oh no, I did that. I did. Like, it's very weird. I still don't really understand why I did it. Like, I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. It was probably just a lot of, like, placebo effect, I'm sure. Because I was in ninth grade and probably really, impressionable and very depressed. So, I mean, whatever. But is people had to do some weird things, though. Like, I just had to bark like a dog. Kim had to shake her butt.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
And Ashley just passed out. She probably just looked like a corpse. It's fine.
Say the word lemon, you have to corpse it.
I think he still goes to the fair. So
visit for the fair if they're doing it.
They are doing it. They've already announced that they're doing it.
I didn't see.
Which is the only reason I'm staying this long.
Okay.
Anyway, back to my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they met with Simon on December 14th, 1963, and he determined that the UFO caused Barney a lot of anxiety and stress that he was not willing to admit.
Fair.
Yep. And he didn't believe that UFOs were aliens. Simon didn't believe that they were aliens, but he knew that the Hills truly believed that they witnessed a UFO with human-like things inside of them, and he wanted to uncover more. So he didn't think they were aliens, but he wanted to know more of what they thought.
Okay.
He was a skeptic.
Fair.
On to the hypnosis sessions. The first hypnosis session was on January 4th, 1964. They were both hypnotized multiple times until June 4th, 1964. So over a five-month period, they were hypnotized multiple times. And they did separate sessions, so they couldn't hear each other. And then he would, then, Simon would reinstate amnesia to forget what they had discussed during their mm-hmm. hypnosis. So they ideally couldn't discuss it when they got home.
Okay.
Barney went first. His recall was very emotional. He was fearful and he kept his eyes closed. He said he kept his eyes closed during most of the abduction. Simon told him that he wouldn't allow him to remember the sessions until he knew he wasn't traumatized by the memories. Basically, it reinstated the amnesia until Barney was ready to confront it.
Okay.
Which was very nice.
Yeah.
I guess. His recall was the same as his conscious recall. So he was recalling the same exact thing. Driving away, he felt compelled to pull off to the road, drive into the woods. The car stalled and the men appeared. They told Barney not to fear him, but he was still anxious.
Mm-hmm.
He later said that the leader told him to close his eyes. The recall was similar to Betty's dreams, pretty like identical to them. Mm-hmm. Barney said that the eyes were terrifying and had a mesmerizing effect. And he said, "Oh, those eyes, they're in my brain."
Ugh.
Yeah. And then he said, "I was told to close my eyes because I saw two eyes coming close to mine. I felt their eyes push into my eyes."
Oh no.
Which is incredibly disturbing.
No.
Yeah. That's germy. That's a lot of germs.
Oh god, no.
They took him to the craft and he was taken to a room and told to lie down on the table. And he kept his eyes closed the entire time during this. Then a cup-like device was placed on his genitals. He said he did not experience an orgasm, but a sperm sample was taken. And then they took skin samples and they peered into his ears and mouth. And then a thin tube/cylinder was inserted into his anus and quickly removed.
Just like, boop, boop.
A butt probe. And then they counted his vertebrae and his spine.
Wow. Okay.
7, 12, and 5. There, I did it for you. 7, 12, and 5. I can't do the math, but I just know they're 7, 12, and 5. College.
The more you know.
And they mumbled in a different language that he could not understand, but yet he could still understand them in English. Like, he knew they were speaking in a different language, but in his brain it was English. Like, he understood it.
Oh, that's odd.
Yes. And he called it thought transference because he didn't know what the term telepathy was at the time. So he just called it thought transference. And their mouths didn't move when they communicated.
I don't like that.
They brought him back to his car in a daze, and then he watched his ship leave. And he attempted to create the buzzing sound that they heard before, but he was unsuccessful. And then Betty's hypnosis sessions, they were similar to her dreams, but had pretty significant differences. The technology of the craft was The technology of the craft was different. The capture and release were different, and the physical appearance of the people were different. And also her order of events were also different. But they were like, had similar themes, but the order, like, different things didn't match up from what she said.
Okay.
But Betty and Barney's memories during hypnosis were consistent with each other.
Oh.
So they aligned somehow, although Betty's were a little bit different than her dreams, but Barney's were similar to her dreams, but then they're like, they lined up basically, mm-hmm. but there are some differences. One of the sessions had to stop early because Betty started having tears coming down her cheeks, and she had a lot of emotional distress when recalling memories about the capture and examination. Simon gave Betty a post-hypnotic suggestion. Why did I say it like that? That she could draw a star map. Mm-hmm. And she later described like the star map that the guy showed her while she was on the ship. Mm-hmm. Where she asked where they're from. He said, why don't you draw it? So she later described it as like a hologram.
Okay.
And she only drew the stars that were significant in her memory. There were 12 prominent stars connected by lines and 3 less prominent stars that formed a triangle.
The solid limes.
Solid citrus. The solid lines were trade routes. I don't know how you say routes, roots, whatever.
You can go either way.
Trade things. Mm-hmm. And then the dashed lines were less traveled stars. So she had like this whole detailed map that she like remembered.
Okay.
And then Simon's conclusions from after the hypnosis. It's possible that Barney's recollection of the UFO encounter was based on Betty's dreams. Mm-hmm. Barney rejected this idea because there were some unique recollections to both. But Barney accepted it, but did not embrace it as much as Betty. Hypnosis brought them some I wrote peach instead of peas.
More fruit.
brought them some peace, but they were no longer affected by the anxiety and trauma that it caused them.
Well, that's good.
And he wrote an article about them, drawing to the conclusion that it was a singular psychological aberration.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after the hypnosis, they made no effort to gain publicity afterwards. They would discuss it with their friends, family, and the occasional researcher, but went back to their normal lives. In October 1965, the front page of the Boston Traveler asked, UFO chiller, did they seize couple? Question mark. Mm-hmm. John Luttrell, I don't know how to say it, was allegedly given an audio tape of the lecture that the Hills made at the Quincy Center 2 years prior. He learned of the hypnosis and obtained confidential interviews that the Hills gave to UFO reporters. United Press International picked up the story a day later, and this brought them international attention. Mm-hmm. 1966, John Fuller wrote a book called The Interrupted Journey about their case. He had the cooperation from the Hills and Simon, and the book included the star drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Betty later claimed to have seen multiple UFOs after the abduction and became a celebrity in the UFO community. Bonnie. Who's Bonnie? Barney died of a cerebral hemorrhage on February 25th, 1969, at the age of 46.
I know that feel, bro.
Well, he died from it. You did not.
I didn't die, but there was hemorrhaging.
And Betty died of cancer in October of 2004 at the age of 85, and she never remarried after Barney.
Mm.
All right, onto the star map.
Mm-hmm.
Marjorie Fish, who is an elementary school teacher and an amateur astronomer of Oak Harbor, Ohio, read The Interrupted Journey, which included the star map, and she was intrigued by this, and she wanted to decipher it and try to figure it out. She wanted to know what star system the UFO came from. She constructed a 3D model using thread and beads, and she studied thousands of vantage points over several years, and the only one that matched up was a double star system of Zeta Reticuli.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's how I'm going to say it.
It sounds right.
I'm just saying it because it sounds cool.
Cool.
She sent her analysis to Webb, who I talked about briefly before, and he agreed with her findings. They sent it to Terence Dickinson, who was the editor of the magazine Astronomy, and he didn't endorse their findings but allowed comments and debate on the UFO report. They carried arguments about the star map for the following year in this magazine. Carl Sagan argued that without the lines drawn connecting the stars, it showed little resemblance to the real life map of Zeta Reticuli. So basically, without the lines, it didn't show any resemblance.
Okay.
Others argued that it was statistically improbable that alignment of key stars centered around Zeta Reticuli happened by chance by a random group of stars. So, discounting her findings, in the early 1990s, European Hipparcos, I don't know what that means. It's a high precision parallax collecting satellite. Do not know what that means. But it was on a mission and it showed that some of the stars in Fish's map were much further away than originally thought. So other research showed that a couple of her findings were also discounted. And this led to Marjorie Fish also discounting her own findings in a public statement. Final arguments. Psychiatrists believe that the abduction was a hallucination brought on by stress from being an interracial couple in the 1960s. Betty disagreed.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Dunning, who is a blogger, brought up that the hypnosis sessions were over 2 years and it left a lot of time for them to discuss their theories and stories in between. An article from 1990 by Martin Kottmeyer suggested that Barney's story might have been influenced by a TV show called The Outer Limits, which is broadcast 2 weeks before their hypnosis session. And Betty was asked if she ever heard about this show, and she denied. And Kottmeyer also said some stories went with a movie. Some of the stories kind of lined up with a movie from 1953 called Invaders from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Others attributed the story to stress, sleep deprivation, and false memories. Robert Schaefer wrote that Betty would go to UFO vigils at least three times a week, and she met with UFO enthusiast John Oswald, who stated, "She is not really seeing UFOs, but she is calling them that." Mrs. Hill was unable to distinguish between a landed UFO and a streetlight.
Oh.
Yeah. And there are a ton of references to their stories in pop culture. A few notable mentions, The X-Files, Travel Channel Mysteries at the Museum, Gravity Falls has reference to them, Lore Episode 87, which is the one I used, the History Channel show called Project Blue Book, and it's the episode called Abduction.
Okay.
And that is the story of Betty and Barney Hill.
Very good.
I'm out of breath now. That was a lot. So, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't want to not believe them.
Yeah.
I don't know what they would gain from making this up.
Especially since they really didn't get any financial gain from this.
Yeah, and especially when you're an interracial couple living in that time period, I feel like you want to keep your whole life on the down low.
Yes, except they were really involved in, like, the civil rights movement and stuff, so I guess, like, they were kind of in the public with that.
Yeah, I mean, the area that they were living in was very progressive for the time. I know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the fact that, I mean, their stories do match up, but they don't match up. I mean, it could have been two completely separate experiences in the same ship. They were taken apart.
Yeah.
So, that's terrifying.
I'm kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah.
I want to believe them. But also, yeah, I have the hiccups. I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know. It makes me very uncomfortable. And I'm very... Aliens are weird.
Aliens are weird. Ashley's afraid of aliens. They gave her the fright.
I mean, we're all afraid of something. I'm afraid of mermaids.
What am I afraid of?
I don't know. What are you afraid of? Spiders? Yeah. I don't know what paranormal thing you're afraid of.
Am I afraid of anything paranormal? Definitely not fairies.
Any cryptid that you're like, nope?
I don't think. I think I'm pretty down with them all.
Miss No Fear.
What?
Miss No Fear.
No, I mean, I'm afraid of spiders, so.
I mean, everyone's afraid of spiders. At least they should be.
I scream every time I see one.
Don't like them.
I'm trying to think if I'm like afraid of anything, like paranormal wise. Demon? No. Am I afraid of demons?
I mean, I
have a collection of Ouija boards. So. Yeah,
like I don't mess with demon stuff.
I don't mess with them.
No,
but
I mean they're cool to look at, but like I don't.
That'll be our next episode, by the way. is possessions, which I already have my notes done.
Dun dun.
I don't think I'm afraid of like anything like paranormal. Anything? I'll have to think about it.
You're not afraid of like dark water, are you? Or like under the sea?
Yes,
stuff?
I am afraid of like I will not go swimming in dark. Like
any sea monsters, like Loch Ness Monster freak.
That doesn't bother me. It's like in, I have a really not correct fear of being eaten by a shark in a pool.
No, I get that. I actually get that.
I hate going swimming in a pool at night. For whatever reason, I could probably go swimming in a lake at night. No, not a lake.
No. No, that's where Jason
ocean.
Is.
I could probably do the ocean
really?
At night.
No, nope. At night.
At night. No, I don't think dark water is okay. I mean, dark water in a pool is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
That just there's a shark in there. I know it.
I mean, now after Stranger Things, the upside down is gonna grab you out of the pool. So like, I get
you
that.
Know what freaks me out.
What?
Alternate universes.
Okay.
I mean that doesn't scare me, but also like the idea that you could run into like your alternate universe self and then someone that the world just ends.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know, everyone's like if you meet your doppelganger you'll die. I'm not ready for that. I saw what happened on Vampire Diaries.
Wow.
They didn't die. They didn't die, but they died.
Yeah. I heard there's a thing, like, if you see yourself, like, the exact copy of yourself, you still won't recognize it or something like that.
I have that hard time believing that. I look at myself in the mirror every morning and look at how disgusting I am.
But even that's, like, flipped. It's a flipped image.
Yeah, I know, but I've also seen what I look like when it's not flipped on my camera because I have an Android and it doesn't, like, flip it
automatically. Invert it or whatever.
Yeah. And that's unsettling.
Yeah, I know. I hate it. It's horrible.
I am so ugly.
Very uncomfortable, and I hate it. I hate it so much.
But I don't think there's anything like other than like the parallel universes, that kind of thing, alternate mm-hmm. universe. That gives me some fear.
Okay.
Some fright. Other than that, feral people. But that's a very real.
That's real.
I know that's not paranormal, but that's a real thing.
That's straight up facts.
No, I can deal with feral cats all day. Feral people?
Nope.
All right. That was that.
You're welcome, Dad.
I hope you enjoyed.
All right. So be safe. Have fun. I hope you learned something new and come back here.
Bye. Goodbye. I'm going to stop recording now. Goodbye.
Goodbye.